It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on ESPN 1400. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region, and hear from the coaches and players involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories. Now, let's get to The Game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game, sponsored by ESPN 1400 and currently heard at thegamesportsshow.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from the home studio tonight on this April 13th, 2020. The Game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, broadcasting online while we obey, for lack of a better term, the stay-at-home orders. Not just in the state of Michigan, but across the country, around the world, due to the COVID-19 coronavirus. We hope that each and every one of you is safe and well, and we want to give a big thank you right from the outset to all the first responders and the medical profession, along with those that you see every day at the grocery stores, at the gas stations, all the essential workers that are the front lines fighting this pandemic, and so we certainly hope that each and one of you are doing very well. This is the local portion of the show. Coming up in the next segment, we're hoping to be joined by our full cast of co-hosts and contributors on The Game, including Butch Davis from Metro Detroit, along with Dave McKeag from Sioux, Ontario, and EJ Russell from Escanaba. And if you want to hear more of our show, not just our Monday night show on ESPN 1400, but other shows from Butch on Sports to The Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario, and more, check out our podcast page, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, or go on our brand new website, thegamesportsshow.com. While we don't have any games locally involving area teams, we do have some news and notes from this past week. So let's start with high school basketball. Of course, the high school basketball season was halted during the playoffs. The boys were in their districts. The girls were in their regionals. We mentioned some of the girls' honors last week. Well, some of the boys were honored as well. EUP athletes, including Pickford senior Nick Eddington and Brimley senior Zach Gross. Eddington received Associated Press Division 4 First Team All-State, while Gross was named Associated Press Division 4 All-State Honorable Mention. Eddington, a 6'7 senior forward, averaged almost 19 points a game and 17 rebounds for the Pickford Panthers, who were the EUP Conference champs, and they were ranked number 5 in the last AP poll and number 2 in the final Upper Peninsula poll. A 4-year varsity basketball player, Eddington averaged a double-double in points and rebounding over his career. He finishes with 1,306 career points and was also part of Pickford's 8-player division state championship football team this past fall, and he's going to continue his football, hopefully this fall, as he has signed with Northern Michigan University for football. Gross, a 6'3 guard forward, he was the highest scorer in the EUP this past season, averaging 24.5 points, along with 8 rebounds, almost 6 assists, and 4 steals. He was runner-up for both the EUP Conference Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. So congratulations to both Nick Eddington and Zach Gross for those honors. Ella Adams of St. Ignace's girls basketball team, she was the recipient of this year's Gil Hurd Courageous Athlete Award, presented by the UP Sports Writers and Sportscasters Association. This award is given annually to the UP athlete who demonstrates perseverance in overcoming a handicap or hardship to participate in athletics. As Ella Adams, well, she was one of those players, as she played without a left hand. Adams was on the Lady Girls basketball team, ranked number 2 in the state in Division 4. Adams is a sophomore who split time between the Saints junior varsity and varsity programs, And you don't even notice when she was playing. I broadcast a game earlier in March, one of the district finals, and you don't even notice something like that. And it just shows her perseverance. Having one hand didn't seem to limit the range on her shot. She shot 76% from the free throw line, 43% from the field, including 41% from three-point distance. She also does play volleyball, and she's been playing basketball since the second grade. So congratulations to Ella Adams, winner of the Gil Hurd Courageous Athlete Award. And congratulations to Suhai Girls head basketball coach Pat Bennin. He was recognized as a Division 1 through 3 Upper Peninsula Coach of the Year, also by the UP Sports Writers and Sportscasters Association. Completing his 16th season as varsity coach, Bennin directed the Blue Devils to a 21-1 season record, rather, this past year. The Blue Devils, they were co-champions of the Straits Area Conference, and they are just about set to play in the regional final against Cadillac in Division 2 before the season was suspended. So congratulations to Coach Pat Bennin, and that Suhai program will certainly be back next year, as they only lost a couple players, I believe. Lots of juniors on that squad, and so you'll see Suhai, I'm sure, do very well next year. Speaking of a team that certainly will do very well, St. Ignace, the girls' basketball team received several awards from the UP Sports Writers and Sportscaster Associations, including the Upper Peninsula Division IV Team of the Year, Junior Hallie Marshall, the Division IV Player of the Year, and Doreen Ingalls, the UP Division IV Coach of the Year. Marshall, a three-year starter, produced 13.3 points per game this past season, along with 3.3 assists and 3.7 steals. The Saints were co-Straits Area Conference champions, along with the Suhai Blue Devils, and they won their 12th straight district title. Doreen Ingalls, she has coached the Saints. Listen to this record. 21 seasons. Her record as coach, 453-84. That is unbelievable. Marshall, the 10th UP Player of the Year, that is coached by Ingalls. That list includes Emily Koivu last year, 2019, Lenny Gibson in 2018, Abby Osman in 2016 and 15, Kelly Wright in 2014, Nicole Emblad, 2010-2011, Liz Stempke, 2004, Krista Comlent, 2002, Mandy Johnson, 2001, and Randy Johnson in 1999. Seven players from the EUP Girls Conference landed all UP honors. This also from the UP Sports Writers and Sportscasters Association, including Hallie Marshall, who we just mentioned. She was named to the Dream Team. Suhai senior Julia Beaumont, she landed a spot on the UP Division 1 through 3 second team. Ingadine senior Sophia Vaughn and St. Ignace sophomore Allie Schultz were named to the All-UP Division 4 first team as well. Pickford sophomore Kennedy Guild, along with St. Ignace junior Emily Hart and Cedarville junior Alicia Cosley, were named to the All-UP Division 4 second team. Honorable mentions for All-UP selections from EUP schools include Suhai junior Lily Alaspa and freshman Claire Erickson in Division 1 through 3. In Division 4, Brimley senior Victoria Akins, Pickford senior Darcy Bennin and sophomore Lizzie Story, St. Ignace seniors Tessa Shepherd and Anna Hart, Ingadine senior Izzy Copsey and freshman Leah French, Cedarville freshman Taylor Williams and Rudyard juniors Sarah Beelan and Newberry junior Katie Rahilly. And finally, in high school sports, Darcy Bennin, we just mentioned her name, of Pickford. Well, she has signed to play volleyball this upcoming fall at Rochester University. Bennin was the EUP Conference Player of the Year this past volleyball season. A 5'10" senior, Bennin also competed in basketball, track and field, and softball in Pickford. Bennin was a four-year varsity volleyball player for the Panthers, who were district champions the last 3 years. Bennin visited Rochester a few times before the COVID-19 cancellations and shutdowns. Formerly known as Rochester College, the school is located in Rochester Hills, Michigan, and a member of the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference of the NAIA, excuse me. So congratulations to Darcy Bennon, who will be going to play at Rochester University in the fall. Well, we've talked a lot about cancellations on the game and another cancellation over this past week, the UP All-Star Basketball game, scheduled to be in Marquette on June 13th. That has been canceled. The Upper Peninsula Sports Hall of Fame has held this game at various locations since 1986, with proceeds going to their scholarship fund. This was announced this past week, quote, with the MHSAA making the official announcement to cancel the remainder of the winter and spring sports in an effort to remain in compliance with the directive by Governor Gretchen Whitmer to keep schools closed for the remainder of the school year. This will also mean the cancellation of the UP All-Star Game, which was scheduled to take place in Marquette. This from Marquette High School Athletic Director Alex Tizio. And so that game will not be played. We haven't heard about the football game, which takes place a little bit later on. No word yet as if that one is canceled, but the way things are going, more than likely, it probably will. Well, some scouting rankings were released this past week. The NHL Central Scouting released its final rankings for the 2020 entry draft, and seven members of the Sioux Greyhounds, well, they are among those ranked, including the highest-ranked player for the Hounds, Captain Ryan O'Rourke, who was ranked 27th among North American skaters. O'Rourke scored 7 goals and 37 points in 54 games in his second season with the Hounds. Other Hounds players who were ranked, including center Jaromir Plitnik, who was ranked 46th. He had 22 goals and 50 points in 56 games for the Hounds. Tanner Dixon ranked 67th. He was a free agent and had a very good first season for the Hounds, finishing the season with 9 goals and 40 points in 64 games. Rody Cairns, a strong second season for the Hounds, ranked 72nd. Robert Kalisti was ranked 78th, which was good for 12th best among OHL blue liners. And Ty Carty was the other Sioux Greyhound player, ranked 192nd, and goaltender Nick Malik, who joined the team at the trade deadline, he was ranked number 10 among North American goaltenders for the upcoming entry draft, and we're still trying to find out details as far as how the NHL is going to hold that draft. Of course, the season has not been canceled as of yet. They're still trying to write up some contingency plans or ways for this to happen. I don't see it happening. I think the draft will happen. How they're going to do that, they're still trying to find out. But certainly some good players will be available in the draft. The prospective number one player, Alex Lafreniere, from the Quebec Major Junior League, played as a junior hockey in Rimouski. And the player I really like, and one of our listeners, Don Supa, he's our junior hockey guru. Dave McKeg as well, but Don's our U.S. junior hockey guru. He really likes Quentin Byfield from the, or Feld, I should say, from Sudbury. He's projected to go number 2. I like his game as well. 6'4", 215. He can score. He's a tough guy. It's going to be fun and see which of these players maybe gets the highest ranking and certainly where they might go. Team that we follow closely here on the game, the Detroit Red Wings, certainly have a very good shot at one of those two players I just mentioned because, well, they had a bad season up until it was canceled, and bad would be an understatement. Last Wednesday, the annual under-18 priority selection draft from the Ontario Hockey League's went off without a glitch. The Sioux Greyhounds selected 3 players, including goaltender Samuel Ivanov, who was the 4th overall pick. Ivanov spent the last season with the Vaughan Kings. Kyle Raftus very happy as he was their top goaltender going in for the Sioux Greyhounds, the general manager of the Sioux Greyhounds. 6'3" at 15 or 16, that's a good size for a goaltender, and so we'll certainly keep our eyes on him. In the second round, the Greyhounds selected defenseman Cole Williamson of the Whitby Wildcats. And the final selection, the Greyhounds used their 3rd pick to select center Henry Brock of the Ajax Pickering Raiders. Some commitments in the NOJHL. Just wanted to go through a few. It's a league that we certainly cover rather closely here on the game. Of course, doing the Sioux Eagles broadcast on ESPN 1400 with Larry Pazabon. There have been some commitments as of late. Let's start with the Blind River Beavers. Their goaltender, Jackson Jelly, he is committed to play for Gustavus Adolphus, a school that used to play the Lakers back in their NAIA days. He is going to play in the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Another goaltender from Blind River, Dominic Boyle. He is going to play college hockey at Marysville University in St. Louis, Missouri. The Saints are members of the American Collegiate Hockey Association, I believe the same league that the Sioux College Cougars are a part of. Former Sioux Eagle and Blind River Beaver Kyle Quinn, he is going to play for UNLV. How about that? The Running Rebels of the ACHA. That's going to be exciting to see how he does going out to Vegas. That's not a bad gig to play your college hockey, that's for sure. Elliott Lake Wildcats forward Connor Taylor, he is going to play college hockey for Northland College. Matalis Salem from Espanola, defenseman, going to play at Laurentian. Also, for the Rayside Balfour Canadiens, forward Zachary Giroux of the Flint Firebirds. He is actually going to commit. I should say he has committed to play for the Flint Firebirds of the Ontario Hockey League, along with Giordano Biondi. He is also going to play in the Ontario Hockey League for Sudbury. Brent Jacklin, forward from Rayside Balfour, he is going to play for Laurentian University. As well as Nicholas DeGrazia, forward, will be playing his junior hockey for the Sudbury Wolves. Boy, they had a lot of players that have had commitments over the past week, including Mitchell Martin, forward for the Canadiens. He is going to play Ontario Hockey League hockey with Kitchener. And David Bowen, everybody knows David, of course, son of Joe Bowen, the Maple Leafs play-by-play announcer for radio, stymied the Sioux Eagles a few times over the years, among others. He is going to play in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League for Drummondville. Sioux Eagles, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Jake Lamberty, forward. He is going to play for Northland College. Also, Shane Brancato, goaltender for the Eagles this past season, will be playing his college hockey at Trine University in Indiana. And finally, Joel Branninger, forward for the Sioux Eagles this past year. He is going to play his college hockey at Tufts. So lots of NOJHL commitments over the past few weeks as the season, like all other seasons, is hockey seasons, basketball seasons over the past month or so, were suspended, held in their tracks to be played probably not until at least next season. We'll certainly hope the games get underway as soon as possible. Well, the game will continue to stay underway. Coming up, we're going to take a break. We come back, we'll assemble our round table. We're hoping to be joined by Butch Davis from Butch on Sports, along with Dave McKeg, maybe a little bit later in the show, from Sioux Ontario, and EJ Russell from Escanaba, Michigan. That's all coming up on the game, sponsored by ESPN 1400 and heard at thegamesportsshow.com and thegamesportsshow.podbean.com.
Hi, it's Craig Hartsburg, former NHL player and NHL coach. Welcome to the Game Sports Show.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the game, sponsored by ESPN 1400 and heard currently at thegamesportsshow.com. Scott Nason back with you on this blustery Monday night. We're hoping to be joined a little bit later on in the hour by EJ Russell and Dave McKeg, co-host of the game, but we're joined right now my co-host of the game and good friend Butch Davis from Butch on Sports, as Butch joins us each and every week to talk about what's going on in the sporting world in the Metro Detroit area and more. You can find his show, Butch on Sports, a brand new edition over the weekend on his podcast page, Simply Butch 2, that's TOO.podomatic.com. You can also go to our website, thegamesportshow.com, also our podcast site, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, to find the newest edition of Butch on Sports, along with other editions. Butch, how you doing on this Monday night, my friend?
Well, I'm doing in there. Doing okay there. I can't do no more than inspect it right now there. Hopefully everyone is, again, batting down the hatches there and staying safe and staying at home.
Exactly right, Butch. Exactly right. Let's get to the regional sports in your area. And let's start with the Detroit Lions, a week or so away from the NFL draft, which will be held what they're calling a virtual NFL draft. We're not going to have fans and the hoopla, but we're going to have picks. And the Lions currently have the third pick in the upcoming draft. And, well, there's speculation that they're going to take a quarterback. Some are saying they could maybe trade down, as some other teams may want a quarterback. Butch, we want to go to you because you are close to the source of the information, at least the official information. What are you hearing a week and a half out as far as the Detroit Lions 2020 NFL draft?
I'm hearing that they are indulging 190 proof liquor here. That's what I heard. Yeah, Scott, you're a Navy man. That's another show at another time.
Yes, it is.
However, again, no one really knows what's going on here with the Lions, and would they be trading to move down in order to, for some other team to get another player in that particular position that has not been picked yet or what? No one knows anything. The Lions have not broken in any type of news, exception for maybe some trades or something of that nature. I did hear a rumor being blasted from Ian Rappaport, NFL News, and I'm not taking that too dog on fire here, unless he has a microphone and a sprocket or something here about he's saying that Lions shall probably be trading down there. And that's only if they've had some conversation off the wire there with some other team that basically is going to give them a huge basket of goodies there, along with their particular draft choice that they're going to be moving down with there. So at this point in time right now, no one knows. I just would say, don't get yourself all worked up and bogged down. Sure, make some picks of who you think the Lions should have. There are many that they should, you know, from the season's past. But again, you know, that's fun to do. But again, from an official standpoint, the Lions, no one has broke out and said anything as of yet.
Butch, there was some news over the past few days as far as Major League Baseball, and I think we'll talk more about this when we get the gang. E.J. Russell's going to join us here in a few minutes. Dave McKeg looks like he's going to join us in about a half hour. But Tigers obviously not playing, nor are any other teams in a Major League Baseball, but there has been some speculation. We heard last week that Major League Baseball was possibly looking at playing games in empty stadiums in Arizona. And then we heard after that, the possible realignment with games going on in Florida and Arizona. You talked a little bit about that on your show over the weekend, Butch. What's your thoughts on the possible realignment if the season does resume here over the next few months?
Yeah, well, I heard that rumor. That's another rumor that really far-fetched. If it will happen or would not happen, I have very much so no idea. One thing you're supposed to do is kind of cut down the traveling there. That kind of makes sense to a minimum. In truthfulness, and also E.J. Russell, he's humming in here, folks, boys and girls. Can't wait. But again, yes!
Got him, E.J. joining us, Butch.
But yeah, we got cameras going here everywhere. Here, we're both solid beards and crap here. I just don't know. I can't say too much, though, only thing that is definite right now that I give the fans is that some of the camps, which the Tigers are one of them, are in Lakeland. They are practicing right now there. How the social distancing is happening there, I have no idea. But again, they are right now practicing right now. Well, right now, I can see right now that they talk about realignment again. And that's for travel distinction there, where the teams don't have to travel as far. I've heard rumors that they would be doing baseball games in Tokyo in the evening. That's not going to ever happen. Kind of rumors right now. Nothing is officially from Major League Baseball. The only thing that's official right now is that there are some Major League teams, including the Tigers right now, have checked back into their camps for the Tigers in Lakeland, Florida, and they are practicing at this time here. Limited practices, hopefully getting and threshing toward the safety issues that can come. But right now, that's happening. Other than the, I've heard all those rumors. I don't know what to think about that. It sounds like an immediate good plan there, where you mix up some National League, American League team. But again, how feasible it is, being that you got so many teams close to you. Cincinnati's pretty doggone close. Cleveland's close. Pittsburgh's close. The alignments that I've seen in the paper so far, some of them just don't make a bit of sense there, you know, at all. So, again, I will got to really wait on, and no one knows right now, to really after, I could say, April the 30th. That'll be probably the witching hour there, where basically we hear a lot of teams come up and say if they're legit or not.
But let's join our newest contributor, a guy we haven't heard from in a few weeks. We wanted to get him on right away. EJ Russell calling from the frozen tundra known as Escanaba, Michigan. EJ joins us each and every week. We haven't had him for a few weeks. We're very happy to have him on tonight. EJ, how you doing, my friend?
Good. Happy to be here as always. Trying to get back to some form of normalcy here, but as you guys can see, and those that are listening, I'm stuck at home just like everybody else right now.
EJ, and I wanted to ask you this, Butch, and I want to take a crack at this. You know, people are at home a lot, obviously, with there being no sports and trying to adhere to the stay-at-home measures. And I just wanted to go talk to you and Butch and myself, and when we get on, Dave, just as far as how are you doing as far as just overall, you know, mentally and just staying at home? I kind of wanted to know how everybody's doing just outside of sports before we get back into the sports world. So how have you been handling the last few weeks, EJ?
Well, I'm doing okay. Quite bored from time to time, but I make sure that I try to get out of the house a couple times a week just to at least go for a hike through the woods, go fishing, enjoy what I love doing, and enjoying the nice weather that we have had. Except the last probably 24 hours haven't been so good. But other than that, just enjoying my time at home, watching as much sports content as I can just to try to fill it in, watching old buzzer beater shots from certain players, old highlight reels, catching up on film, and just trying to stay up on the game. But healthy, happy, just trying to stay home, stay safe, and try to get through this the best I can. How about you guys?
Butch, go ahead. I mean, you and I have done a show the last few weeks, but we haven't talked too much about kind of how each of us is doing outside of sports. How are things? I know things are very tough down where you're at, Butch, as far as this COVID-19. How are you doing with everything?
If you can find a roll of toilet paper, let me know here. But you know, from that point on, it's been really tough because there are things that you can religiously do, and it's not happening right now. You got to make other arrangements. I got a letter about a recall for a car or something there. And then you call a car dealer there, no one's answering the telephones and whatnot. So, you know, you're stressing on that. Next week is my birthday, next Sunday here. Now, I've been complaining, how do I get my tax? Okay, let's go online and see if I can do it. So you find out basically, you know, at that point in time, the best time to do it is naturally at 12 o'clock midnight when everybody's going to bed and everything, and you got free range. The same thing with unemployment, boys and girls. That's a key. The system has crashed. But the best way to do your unemployment is after midnight, always here. Because no one's there. And, you know, you get all your stuff done. You can watch some program like Sergeant Preston or whatever, maybe. Make your midnight snack. Get into your favorite beverage here to help you go to sleep. And you do, and you wake up and tackle the next morning there. You can't make too many trips at the market, so I'm doing something that I don't traditionally do, and that's make a list so you can get in and get out. And then at that point in time, like we had a problem this past Thursday when going to a certain market there, and we found out that five of those particular markets wasn't taking care of business as far as cashing money objects there. So you had to call the company up and find out, you know, and that's what I did when the first place I found was not doing anything. It had all the lights out, black, and they said, well, I don't know. So you go home, hopefully someone answered the phone. In this case, they did, and they did the hunting for me and found out there was a store maybe 5 miles away from me that I can get this particular business done. So, yes, it can be frustrating because you kind of, like, weigh out your day, and, you know, the unexpected pleasures come around that you got to hold yourself up there, keep yourself in a good frame of mind so you don't, you know, cast a stern on somebody because all these things can happen. So patience is a thing that I'm really practicing very hard there.
Yeah, guys, you know, over the weekend, I was looking at some old broadcast, and it was a month ago that we did a show just before this happened. I was talking to my cousin who was playing for the New York Guardians of the XFL. Talking about the upcoming week as far as going to play Dallas. We were talking about the high school regionals that were going on and districts. And Butch and I were during the roundtable, you know, that's when a lot of the news about this COVID-19 started to come out as far as they were starting to restrict practices. And then everybody knows what happens that week, NBA and Rudy Gobert, and the dominoes fell after that. And that was just a month ago. It seems like it was about 10 years ago. As long as this month has gone along, I'm very fortunate enough to be still employed, being in mental health. We are deemed essential, and so we've had to totally change the way we do business in the program that I run, which is called Clubhouse, which was having people come in to the building. And so we've had to totally, you know, offer virtual services, much like many doctors and other professionals are doing. So, you know, I've been able to still be employed and take care of my family, my kids. They really started their last semester of school here at home today, and I live next door to my parents, so I'm very fortunate to be able to do all those things. And it's been challenging for so many people, and we haven't really even had any cases up here in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, just a handful. And so we've really been fortunate enough not to have that. But, you know, I always believe that things can be worse, and things could always be worse. And we're very fortunate to be able to stay at home and be around our family and loved ones. And it's been challenging, but it's been interesting to see some of these sports. And I want to talk about that later on that we're seeing. I mean, did you ever think you'd see video games featured late nights on SportsCenter, or horse games, or spelling bees from 20 years ago? One of the things I've enjoyed the most, and we talked about it, Butch and I, when this first started, is we were hoping that they'd show some of these old championship games. And boy, they've had a lot of them. We saw the Tiger Stadium one the other day, the final game, which Butch and a good listener friend Don Supa went to. And just to hear Al Kaline, who passed away last weekend, and hear how good he was behind the mic, and George Kell, and my goodness sakes, and to watch those Pistons games from 04, and to see, my goodness, they played defense back then in the NBA. It was unbelievable to see some of those scores, 70-69. And so that's some of the things I've enjoyed. But, you know, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, guys, when we did the local segment. You know, we talk a lot about the first responders in this crisis, obviously the doctors and the healthcare workers. But when you're out and about and you go see one of the ladies that is running the grocery store, you know, the cash register at the grocery store, or working at the local gas station, go out and thank them, because they are on the front lines as much, and they don't get paid a whole heck of a lot either. They should definitely see some more pay out of this hazard pay. And so that I guess that's the one thing I wanted to stress is make sure, you know, when you're out thank those people because, you know, they're risking their lives. And it sounds like an overstatement, but it's not these days. This is what we're dealing with. This is a pandemic that we haven't seen in this country in over 100 years. And we can only hope that this goes away as soon as possible and people adhere to what the medical experts are saying. Stay at home, follow the rules, and hopefully this will all go away soon because we certainly want it to. But we are a sports show, and let's talk sports. And so let's kind of get right into the roundtable, guys. Dave McKeag's going to be joining us here in about 15 minutes. We'll go the full hour for the roundtable. So, EJ, it's been a while since you've been on. We're going to give you first topic. Butch, I'll give you first crack at EJ's topic. So, EJ Russell from snowy Escanaba, Michigan, what's on your mind tonight in the world of sports?
Wow, I guess I wasn't super prepared for a sports question today, even though this is a sports show. I'll ask this. Some sports are doing as much as they can to make adaptations to try to keep fans engaged and do what they can to keep their participants active. With that being said, NASCAR has actually done quite an interesting job with doing these virtual races. And some guys have been doing them. Some guys have been not. Even a driver losing his real-life sponsorships for not participating in one of these virtual races. My question for you guys, have you seen any of them? Are you following at all what NASCAR is doing with this? And what do you think about real drivers losing real-life sponsorships for not participating in virtual races?
Butch, the floor is yours.
I think people are not realistic to a lot of stuff there. You know, they don't want to deal with the virtual portion of the race car exhibition, which, by the way, yesterday we had a nasty thing that happened. Of course, this particular individual apologized today, but it should never came out of his big fat mouth in the get-go there. And I'm just going to say that just like it is. You know, we got to get this is right now a time of that we're, I mean, we can't have no slip-ups here. Again, you know, I mentioned before, you got to practice patience there. And Scott, you made a very good point of those particular food workers and medical people and staff people that have to get out there because they're essential people. And basically, they're putting themselves all on the line. We heard today one of the big news is that four people within the metropolitan area who work in food stores, major chains, had passed away. That's not an easy cycle to do. And now everybody wants them to be fully dressed like people in the operation room. What do you say? You know, like, I get to sports now and I saw it in Horse. They was shooting Horse on one of the channels. And golf was another station that was taking part in virtual golf and whatnot there. I don't get into it. I can't. I don't know. I'd rather watch the Long Ranger or Sergeant Preston of the Yukon or something. You know, something that, you know, Wagon Train, one of the good shoot ups there. You know, watch the garbage on there. Because, again, majority of us, that's what we're doing if we're around families and whatnot. They are dealing with virtual games and whatnot to kind of take the edge off there. But, you know, to watch it on TV, you know, I would rather see those particular times they go back and hit their film reels to some of the 60s and the 50s of those races and maybe migrate some history into play because, again, children are lacking that right now and knowing how those particular sports evolved and whatnot. And if you mentioned certain people who participated in the past, and what I would bet 10 to 1 to a dozen of donuts, that they wouldn't even know. But you know, I don't know. EJ, if that's a hard question to kind of wrap my finger around, but no, I really can't get into it right now here.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, Butch, at least with NASCAR, because it's a sport that I just don't get into that much, you know, when the season's going on. I mean, I'll watch maybe a few laps of the Daytona 500. But by the time it gets to October, November, I'm done. I'm done with NASCAR. And so it's a sport that doesn't register that high on my radar. However, you know, these sports are doing whatever they can to try to keep afloat. And, you know, I did watch a little bit of the NBA 2K20 competition, and I realized when I played my son how bad I am at that game, among other sporting games. I realized over this stay-at-home measure or time period. But yes, there's going to be a lot of money lost with sports. There's going to be a lot of money lost with the economy in general when we get out of this. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about when it comes to my topic here on the roundtable, is just, you know, trying to envision how we get back to normalcy, focusing on sports. Obviously, it's a changing thing day by day with this coronavirus, COVID-19, but I'm trying to envision just the future of sports. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But to answer your question, EJ, I haven't watched it too much. Understand why NASCAR and these other sports are just scrambling to try to put something out there to keep relevant. But there's going to be lots of sponsors lost in NASCAR. It's going to be a lot of money lost in the world of NASCAR and all of sports. So, EJ, great topic. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that they're doing the absolute best that they can with what we've been given. And I do think that, you know, I'm not a big NASCAR guy. And I'll say I got into this particular topic because one of my best friends here in town, who I fish with, is a big NASCAR fan, and him and I have been talking about this. But I think it's actually a really unique way to put all of these drivers on a level platform, right? You got some of these teams that, you know, they have all the money in the world, and they always have the best cars. You know, some of these younger drivers don't have the best teams. They may not have 3-4 cars sitting in the garage. If they wreck one, they got to find a way to fix it and get it back onto the track. So I think it's a fun way to get some of these no-name guys a little bit more notoriety. I think it's a way to invite competition in a world that is moving to recognize virtual competition as valid sport. I mean, we have, you know, Call of Duty League. We have competitive Fortnite. We have virtual NASCAR now. I think that they're doing a good job of trying their best to get in it. I don't like that a driver was penalized and lost a real-life sponsorship for not participating in a virtual race. I thought that was a little bit ridiculous. But other than that, I like what NASCAR is doing. I like that they're trying to find a way to stay relevant, trying to find a way to stay in front of everybody else. You know, it's one of those things that anybody can be good at playing a video game. And I put that in air quotes because, you know, some of these drivers like Kyle Busch have these elaborate multi-thousand, tens of thousands of dollars, these setups that are just ridiculous. And a driver that won a couple weeks ago was sitting there using the same kind of steering wheel that you'd snap onto your TV dinner tray with his foot pedals on the ground and sat in his office, you know, a folding chair, and won the NASCAR event. I mean, that was pretty cool. It's different. It's something more exciting than no competition. So I like what they're doing. I think that they're doing the best with what they can do. And it's made me a little bit more interested in something that maybe I wasn't watching before.
Butch, let's go to you for a topic on the roundtable. What's on your mind in the world of sports, my friend?
Well, oh boy. Could be a lot here, but I guess I hit to the real nitty-gritty of looking at how many teams are, you know, surfacing their public service time here to somewhat stop a lot of things. And I know in the city of Detroit and some of the metropolitan areas around, social gathering has been at an all-time high here. You know, you can't have baby parties and birthday parties and Joe Blow getting out of jail parties. You can't have all of those and expect to be going through the motions. So I'm seeing the Pistons, the Red Wings, the Lions haven't came out as of yet there, but I'm quite sure Detroit Tigers have made public service announcements about staying safe. And it's effective to a point. But again, one of the conversations I had with someone when I was talking to him the other day is that the guy said, and I quote, it's easy for them to say they got everything. Well, if you don't have nothing, dodo head, you know, you can stay home and kind of do the best you can. If you need some help and services, whatever it may be, maybe contact a neighbor or a friend or something where you can get a this or that. It's worked for me, and I'm quite sure it's worked for others around there, and staying safe. And I just kind of get you guys' hum on that there.
Yeah, I'll start, EJ. And, you know, there's been a lot of teams, leagues, owners, communities that have donated to this fight against the coronavirus, along with trying to help the workers of these, you know, stadiums that have been shut down. And that's just, it's a multifaceted, you know, tragedy with this shutdown. And obviously, the biggest tragedy is the loss of life, but it's also loss of income. It's loss of revenue on people that have, you know, that's been their life, has been working in sports. And so, you know, we've seen that throughout the different communities, you know, as far as I think in Italy, certain clubs are donating 10% of their salaries to help fight this virus. And we've seen it all around the world. I know there are some people that are a little critical of people with a lot of means. I believe Jeff Bezos, or one of the owners of Amazon, donated a whole bunch of money, and there were still people, you know, say, well, gee, he makes $10 billion. That's hardly anything. Well, it's something, you know, and people are giving their money and their time. And so it's something that, you know, we see throughout our history is when we do have these challenges, lots of people step up. And again, we mentioned before, Butch mentioned, and I mentioned it, the people that are stepping up the most are those that have to face this on a daily basis, whether it be in the hospital, whether it be in the emergency room, whether it be at the grocery store and the gas station. Those are the people that really, I think, need the biggest amount of help. But it's a multifaceted thing. And I certainly would hope that if those athletes that have the means donate, and I think some of them do donate without, you know, maybe having the fanfare and putting out a press release and maybe quietly donating some money, but it's something that people that have the means should certainly do. And, you know, we all need to unite in this front. This is a right versus left. This isn't a, you know, a racial thing. This isn't a country versus country. This is the entire world fighting a faceless enemy that we don't know still right now. We don't know a whole lot about as far as how we combat it, when we're going to get rid of it, and when we get back to normal, whatever normal is, because certainly right now things aren't exactly normal. EJ, your thoughts on Butch's topic?
Well, I will say this. There's a couple things that we do know will help combat it, and that's wash your hands, stay clean, stay home, and practice social distancing. People are, you know, part of the reason restrictions got heightened in Michigan are because people weren't following that. So there are things you can do. Wash your hands, stay home, stay safe. It could help save lives. I know it sounds tacky, but, you know, we all got to do it. But I really think that a lot of these athletes have done a great job stepping up. You know, many of the athletes for these organizations, Kevin Love, Zion Williamson, Miles Garrett from the Cleveland Browns, who's had some previous infractions and could use some good karma here. A lot of these guys are stepping up and making these incredible donations and are doing it a lot of times before ownership is. You know, one of the most vocal owners that I've heard throughout all of this is Mark Cuban. I think he's doing a great job of making sure that he's taking care of his Dallas Mavericks organization. And now other owners are starting to try to step up to the plates as well. But I think that these athletes really did a good job of getting out in front of this before ownership started to. And I think that that's something that deserves to be recognized, because we all forget that, yes, these guys do make millions of dollars, but they're all still employees of somebody that has a heck of a lot more money than they do. And they stepped up to the plate first. So let's make sure we give these athletes some credit here where credit's due. And just continue to try to help each other out. Like Scott said, if you got a neighbor or whatever, Butch said the same thing, help them out.
Butch, any final thoughts on your topic before we get to mine?
Why, certainly here. I think one of the biggest final thoughts is that we have talked about all those particulars up on the front line and all there. But again, you know, we look at ourselves that right now the general public is saying, and our local and federal officials are saying most likely you need to, when you go out, you now need to wear a mask and you need to wear protective gloves. And I kind of asked myself the other day, where do you get these? And wow. So I'm still waiting for the Amazon truck or something there to try to like bring a drone over here and drop some plastic gloves and masks on me here. That's one thing I think our athletes need to come to terms with as well here, that it's the general public just like them who do support them. And there's many people right now feel, I use this word, Scott, buck naked, okay? Because they're not getting those particular supplies. By golly, I've been in some stores here where none of it's being sold. So, and you don't want to take the chance on the internet where you get ripped and basically have your whole life savings cleaned out and whatnot there. I would love to see the general public or the athletes or and some of the, those high-to-do people say, hey, look, you know, the general public, so many people need masses, need what it may be. You can get a name and address list locally where basically maybe you can use those as mailers where you can send maybe a couple of masks and a couple of gloves to a particular individual who don't have it there. There's many personal people who don't have it. There's a lot of people being very creative wearing winter gloves. I've seen people use scarves and I'm using a scarf here to hide your nose and your mouth there in order not to cough or sneeze or do whatever it may be. But it would be nice if, again, everyone is in this thing here. You know, win, lose, or draw. It's sorry to say that we got to always pick a hype or a central point, which is very well taken that these particular individuals need those particular helps and services. But we all need those help and services there. You know, my mother used to have an old saying there, all crap stank. Okay? So when that happens, we all need help. So let's think of some creative ways to help the general public at large there, because again, they're itching to get out there and find a basketball hoop, and it's very hard to keep maybe a child of 11 or 12 or 13 years old hanging in there and keeping their wits together there and doing all the good things, such as maybe do some additional study and along with maybe doing some video chatting with friends. The list goes on and on and on, and just to keep them out of trouble. So I like to see more done on that basis myself there. That's just how I feel.
Butch Davis, EJ Russell, and Scott Nathan halfway through this Monday night edition of The Game, and we got the full crew assembled. Hi-ho, the gang's all here, because joining us right now via the Skype line, host of The Game Sports Show in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and co-host of this show, Dave McKeag, or David McKeag Jr., you can also call him that. Kegger, how you doing on this Monday night, my friend? And welcome to the game.
Fellas, missed you guys. You know, it's great seeing you guys in the video. I know I currently don't have my video, just my audio on. But nonetheless, great to see you guys. Missed you guys. Hope all is well, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, Dave, it's the first time that the four of us have been on the same show since before this whole COVID virus pandemic swept our countries and the world. And I asked this of EJ and Butch a little bit earlier and myself. Before we get back to the sports, just how are you doing over there? And we were talking about those workers that are on the front lines. You, sir, are one of those workers working in the health field. And so hats off to you and all your colleagues there for what you do. But I just wanted to check in with you and see how you're doing, how you're handling the shutdown, and what now is for, you know, next few weeks and possibly months.
You know, definitely being a frontline worker, you know, a lot of love is given to the nurses and to the hospital, but I'd like to give a special shout out to especially people that work in the customer service and in the grocery stores. That's big thing for me that I'm realizing. They're wiping down the equipment. You look at Walmart, you look at Rome's, you look at Food Basics, anything else here in Sault, Ontario, or in Canada in general. It's not just the healthcare side. It's a lot of other essential workers doing it as well. So, you know, it's certainly one thing that I'll say is I'm very happy to be working, because I also know there's a lot of individuals that are either working home and struggling with that, or even struggling because they've been laid off from work temporarily or even permanently. Who knows what's going to happen. So you know, the main thing is everyone who is or whoever's help flatten the curve. That is where I give kudos to, you know, and I'm happy to be in a healthcare field. It's certainly rewarding, but even though I'm on the HR side of things, not a nursing side, despite still being there, it's crazy times here in Sioux, Ontario, and just throughout the world, Canada, Michigan, North America in general, Europe, and it's going to be an adjustment period still, and this is still the beginning, in my opinion. This is still something that's going to take time, and overall, if the world is too smart and able to come together, that is how we're going to overcome this, just to answer that. So from my end, for how I'm doing, it's, you know, working is keeping myself busy, and I think that's what's helping with myself for socialization, because I'm someone who likes to be around people. As all of you may know, I like to talk a whole bunch, and keeping me quiet is very hard to do. So being able to have a job where I can talk and still do this show with you and everyone, with you guys and just the guests that we've had on the show, has been great. But it's been life-changing. It's been completely world-altering. This is going to affect a lot. And I know we don't want to talk a whole bunch about COVID-19. We're here to try to bring the light side of things. But let's bring out the obvious here, Scott. It's been an adjustment, and overall, everyone's trying to do their part. And myself, I am glad to be doing what I am doing, but there is still a world of sports people are craving to have, and athletes have been doing a great job on providing some entertainment. Look at the NBA 2K tournament. Look at baseball with Bull Bichette doing the show against other players that play on other teams. They've been doing what they can, and I like seeing the optimism with players and with fans thinking that sports are going to come back. But ultimately, let's get back on getting to reality and get things back to normal here at the end of the day. And that's where we're trying to focus everyday life here in the Sioux, Michigan as well. Different countries, we're still brother, sisters, whatever you want to call us, in arms. And at the end of the day, we're going to try to keep pursuing to get back to normal here.
Good segue, Dave, as far as where we're at in the show. We're in the roundtable portion of the show. It's my turn for a topic. We'll go to EJ and then Butch, and then we'll get Dave's comment. There's Dave. He's on the video. He put a shirt on, thankfully, to see that hairy 70s dress. My goodness sakes. Manscaped, my friend. Manscaped. But anyway, let's go back to what we were talking about. And you know, looking forward, it's impossible to know where we go from here. But I just wanted to get your guys' take from a sports perspective is, when do you think that we're going to start seeing games? And again, this is all speculation because nobody knows the answers right now. But where things stand, we know that events have been canceled all the way through, I think, August officially, if not into September. We're talking, you know, Wimbledon has been canceled. The Olympics have been canceled. You know, NBA, NHL season still have not been canceled. There's hope, but I just don't see it happening. High school sports have been canceled. So just looking ahead, And we'll start with you, EJ, just looking from a sports perspective, at what point in what sports, in what genre, in what conditions do you see sports starting to happen again? And again, this is all speculation at this point, but, you know, is the NFL going to start in August and September? Will there be, you know, Major League Baseball games be played? Can they run these sports without fans? Like maybe a tennis where you only have a couple people playing, or soccer where you have empty stadiums. Just your thoughts, guys, as far as, you know, at what point do we start seeing sports happen, in your opinion? EJ, we'll start with you.
I think that one organization, one league that everyone's really looking to for a little bit of guidance, I think, is the NFL, because you have the draft coming up, which can be done virtually. Those of us that have played fantasy football are familiar with how that concept works. It's actually quite simple. But I do think that the NFL will probably be the first league that we see get back to normal play, just because of the timing of it. I don't think that we should consider looking at a full baseball schedule. I think if baseball looks to play this year, they need to have a condensed version. I don't think we should look to see the NHL or NBA return to their full schedules. Maybe they'll have shortened schedules as well, but things need to be done in order to allow these leagues to come back. Maybe that's play with empty crowds. I don't know. I think that can be done. I mean, WWE seems to be doing it with wrestling, holding WrestleMania in front of, you know, zero spectators. So it can be done. You know, organizations in sports entertainment, they're putting out products that people are viewing. So is it possible to play without fans? Sure. But I think the first league that you'll really start to see get back to normal will be the NFL. And I think that you'll really start to see that happening around October.
Great stuff, EJ. What's your thoughts?
I like to be a realist here. And until medical people and I say the political people all get together and have some, you know, some heads in dealing with this particular. No one actually really know when everything is on the all clear. As we know it to this date, one thing is for sure, COVID-19 is here to stay. As we're working day by day for resolution for it and maybe some type of virus for it, we really don't know. We don't know when they start up again, regardless of any crowds or many people in the crowd, how this thing may jack up again here. It's safe to say that the NFL will probably start on time, whether they have fans or no fans at all. Basketball, I'm very uncertain of, as well as the hockey season. If they do, they'll have some type of, condensed type of playoff situation where they can maybe salvage the year and make some money. The key is make some money, because I want to be very, very clear with this there. You know, the health of well-being of everyone is totally important, number one. However, you got to look at the economic standpoint of it there, and many people hasn't received a check, unemployment or otherwise. And they say how you there's the checks in the mail or it's being in deposit. Well, the wait and see attitude always employed. So always that antsiness or a point of no return comes into play. Like this is. We can't get to the point where it's just going to all stop. It's not. So I'm just hoping that some good heads come together in the medical field, along as there's politicians listening to the people in the medical field and doing the right thing for just not themselves economic-wise, but them for everyone concerned around this particular picture there. Because, again, Scott, you mentioned they got vendors out here who are not getting paid. Let's see, you know, Brother Illich is paying his employees right now out of his pocket or out of their fund. So they're not missing a paycheck, but they're not getting, I say, the ample amount where they should be getting every single week or every time a team comes in town or they're scheduled to work. You know, that's been cut down by many of us right now. So, you know, you hope some good decisions are made, but again, the health and well-being is always going to be number one for me if they do crank up and start there.
Good stuff, Butch. Dave McKeag from Sioux, Ontario, your thoughts as far as sports, looking ahead, what are you seeing? What are you thinking?
See, first off, and I'll say yes, I'm happy I put a shirt on before I came on the video. I also like to include that I'm happy I can eventually get a haircut, because a lot of things are going crazy over here. So, nonetheless, back to on topic.
Worries here.
I honestly, I'm going to be flat out real, and I think I might be a little bit more kinder than what Butch was. You know, I don't think you're going to see hockey. You're not going to see hockey. You're not going to see NBA. You're not going to see a full MLB season, and you're going to see a delay in the NFL season potentially. A lot of people think that there's going to be something just miraculously change this. Hey, 14 days, got to stay inside. Hey, last time I checked, Canada's going to extend their state of emergency another 28 days, never mind 14. Okay, this is continuing to extend. And now if you're looking at 28 days, you're looking into May. Now if you're looking into May, we hope that you're already flattened the curve, whatever, if you will, if you want to call it that. And by the time you get to that point, everything relaxed, looking at June. Okay, then when you look at June, if you are going to bring back hockey, you do a little bit of a training camp. You're going to get some games going. Then all of a sudden, you're not playing until July, August. I know that's what everyone's looking at as expectation, but overall, as much as it might suck to hear, especially if you are a, let's say, I don't know if you want to be, if you want to say Toronto fan, if you're a Leaf fan, I don't think you're really saying it sucks right now because that's been a great year. But at the end of the day, you got teams in the National Hockey League and NBA, like the Raptors. I think that's where it sucks. I think this was the year where the Raptors could have proved they could do it without Kawhi Leonard, right? I think there's some of that where some teams are behind, but let's rewind this. It doesn't matter what team is in a better state. It doesn't matter what professional sports. What matters is what's going on in the world right now. That is what matters, getting things done, not being like, oh, all right, we went from 100,000 plus cases. Now we're down to 10,000. That's not bad. Let's get everyone to the rink and let's see what happens. No, it's not going to go like that. Unfortunately, I hope that all these rumors prove that the NHL starts in August, the playoffs. I hope they maybe delay next year. I don't know. I'd love to see this year finish. I would love to see that so it's not a wasted season. But overall, realistically speaking, I could sit here and say, yeah, the NBA is going to start in August or July or late June, but the playoffs are going to be by July, August. Same with the NHL. MLB is going to have a shortened season. NFL is going to start all the time. Yeah, I want to be optimistic. I want to believe all these board of governors in the NHL and all the directors and the commissioners and everything. And I hope they're right. And I hope I'm wrong. But realistically speaking, hope everyone should prepare that the NHL is done. The NBA is done. Potentially see that the MLB will be the only sport that will play because they can play without fans. I think that's the only, for some reason, that's the league that can play without fans. I just can't explain it, but it seems like that's what fits. When it comes to the NHL, NBA, and NFL, fans are a big part, especially the NHL. Home ice advantage is huge. NBA is huge. You got the fans getting that momentum. It changes the course of the game more so than in baseball, in my opinion. So if there's realistic from my end coming in, baseball will be something you might see shortened, but NBA, NHL, consider it done. Sorry to break everyone's heart. It is done. NFL, I still don't have a decision yet. Tennis, I don't really have a decision. Soccer, it all depends because Europe is big for soccer, right? And the way Europe's looking right now, I don't want to be playing there at all. So consider soccer done. The only sport that has hope right now is baseball, potentially NFL. And if this keeps going the way it's going, if we don't flatten the curve by August, September, you might not see even next season start on time. So I think everyone should prepare. And I'm sorry to be the devil on the other side of the shoulder here, if you will, but don't expect any sports to be starting anytime soon. And potentially let it known that it might not start all this year for the NBA or NHL. Never mind the rest of this past season or this current season might see a delay going into next season.
Yeah, great points, everyone. And I'm going to take more of, I think, Dave's point of view of this and you know, be pessimistic because, again, we just don't know. And I think that's the scariest part of this is until we get full testing in this country or around the world, we don't know. And I think that's what the scariest part of this is. We don't know who has it. We do know how to prevent it. We do know what to do as far as, you know, staying away from other people and social distancing and staying home when you're sick, et cetera, but we don't know. And looking throughout world history, this is not something that is new. This isn't something that all of a sudden has happened in 2020. We had this happen over 100 years ago with the Spanish flu that claimed between 20 and 50 million lives. And you've seen other, bubonic plague. You go all the way back to the Black Death in Europe, where a quarter of the population of the world was wiped out. And I think the scariest part of this current situation is the fact that it could be reduced and then come back in another wave. Until there's a vaccine, which most experts say we are at least, and I say at least 1 year, if not a year and a half, to some will say even 2 years away from a vaccine, you know, people are going to be scared to go out and congregate, I think. I know I will be as far as that because of the uncertainty. And you know, you guys made very good points about the professional sports, but think about the youth sports and what's happening this summer. I mean, there's going to be no T-ball. There's going to be no basketball camps. There's going to be no hockey camps. There's going to be no soccer. For the most part, that's all been wiped out. And you look at ahead to the fall. Are we going to see high school sports season in the fall even right now? Because there's so much uncertainty. So I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what is ahead even tomorrow, let alone next week, next month, into next year. But if you ask me right now, April 13th, 2020, will we see some games over the next few months? I will say no. Certainly not in the NHL and NBA. Those seasons are done. I don't think there's any way they're coming back. Baseball, I think I agree with you guys. I think there is a chance. I like what you said, EJ, about the NFL kind of being the one that may get to start. But again, hopefully we'll know more by the time we get to that point, because right now, I can't tell you. We got to listen to the experts and see what they say. And I like what Butch said as well. It's got to be in mind health and safety first. Before anything else matters, you got to be healthy. You got to be safe to put these games out there. Dave, let's go back to you for your topic on the roundtable. We'll go around the horn again, EJ and Butch and myself. So, Dave McKeg, what's on your mind tonight, sir?
You know, that was one thing that you guys brought up that I want to bring around about seeing professional sports. Because when I was sitting around today on my break from work, because I guess I get those once in a while, looking at social media and reading the hope and with the fans, love seeing it overall and love seeing how commissioners and board of governors and how arenas are preparing to be open. I love the optimism. That's something that gives people hope, right? Sports are a thing that give people hope. It may sound corny coming from us being the game sports show, but it's true. Like my sports right now is EASHL. I think EJ knows what that is more so than Scott and Butch. Maybe not. Like it's my sports is video games right now. Okay. I'm so glad that I'm into video games a little bit because I'm able to enjoy a little sports. I can tell you, I was sitting in front of my television and we were in a Division I game that we won, by the way, but they scored a goal. I actually got mad. Like, I got mad like I was looking at Jake Gardner go around the net against the Boston Bruins, okay? That's how mad I was getting, and that's how much I miss sports. But overall, there's still effects in the world of sports right now, okay? And I want to just not really bring up a full topic. We can kind of keep this open-ended in terms of the draft. There's one point I want to bring up, because EJ brought up the virtual draft with the NBA. Why not discuss the NHL with that? Because that NHL draft was supposed to be in June. I know the NBA draft, which for some reason Golden State is one of the top picks, probably great in that draft. So I'd like to talk about the draft if they are going to go that virtual route. But also I want to get into kind of bringing up Colby Cave. Colby Cave was something that he passed away, brain bleed, and they had 15 kilometers worth of a line in his hometown to give to his family because of what happened. A young 25-year-old, he's a 94 birth year. I'm a 91. So, that's close to home in terms of age. Like, it's amazing how anything can happen at this given time. This world is just flipped upside down. Great young man and athlete. Those would be Edmonton Oilers. So I want to bring up just the overall effects of the draft and virtually. And just any comments that you had just in terms of Colby Cave or anything that you've read on your end.
EJ, the floor is yours, my friend.
I don't have much to say on this topic. I didn't read much up on it. The only sad news that I wanted to bring up today involved coronavirus, which was that NBA player Karl Anthony Towns' mother unfortunately passed away due to complications involving the coronavirus, but I wanted to bring that to attention. Otherwise, Dave, I don't have much to say on this part of the topic.
Butch, the floor is yours.
Oh, it does? Okay. Hey, let's go on the air here. Get the camera all set up here, and boom. Here I go. Oh, boy. Dave, we do off camera here, while we try to make this a legal show. I don't know. I don't know. There's virtual is the way to go. If that's going to keep some peace and harmony in your home and within yourself, I'm all for it here. You got to do something to keep yourself somewhat mentally in charge there. And I think you would know it more than anybody else, Scott. You deal with the mental health issue there. It's hard to kind of grasp on things. Me, myself, I'm just not worried about the draft right now. I don't really care. I can't wait to a start, for the NFL to nick boots and find out what the Lions going to get and what other teams are going to strategically, how they get in the position to get who they want. But it hasn't happened yet. So I'm trying to just keep things as level as I possibly can there. When sports is not happening, and I know I'm involved in it right now, we miss the opening day and things that I normally would be doing during this type of time of year is going AWOL here right now until those things get cranked up and going. You know, I think an individual has to do their best way to kind of keep everything at bay. Many like to do this. I'm quite sure that many are doing this right now on Zoom or other social medias, or having conversations and having rhubarbs and who's going to get what, when, why, and how, or maybe talking about this, that, and the other. But, you know, I'm just trying to keep it real from where I sit here. I'm not everybody. I don't get into the video aspect. I'll get into some of the old-time crap. I mean, I'm watching programs that I used to watch when I was a kid, and when you see The Price is Right with Bill Cullins, who was the official, the first Price is Right when they were first came on there. It was Bill Cullins and all this other stuff there and how they bid it for homes and whatnot. It makes the Price is Right that they're doing today look personally cheap here. You know, I don't know what to say here. I just, you know, best of luck and patience, I would say there.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned it in your comment there, Butch, you know, yesterday being Easter and, you know, a very important holiday for many families. Many of us were not able to spend time with our families other than phone calls and video. And, you know, and that's hard because, you know, human beings are social beings for the most part. And this is totally, you know, put a fork in it, if you will, as far as, you know, not being able to see people. And when you see people kind of standing back, and I don't want to get too close to people. I mean, that's something I was mentioning that at work today in our morning meeting. Someone was talking about a handshake, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to shake anybody's hand again. I got to be quite honest. I mean, because of all this. And so that's been something that's, you know, moving towards a more virtual, you know, you mentioned, Dave, the draft, NHL and NBA draft. We saw it recently with the Ontario Hockey League priority selection draft. That went off without a hitch. And so it certainly can be done. We're going to see what happens with the NFL coming up. And so, you know, like Butch said, there's some bigger things to worry about. And you mentioned it, Dave, Colby Cave from the Edmonton Oilers, you know, dying at the age of 25. 2020 sucked. I'll just be quite honest. It's been a tough few months as far as things that we've seen. And, you know, if you look at what his wife put on, you know, talking about the death, I mean, it just breaks your heart, you know, to hear somebody so young. And again, it's another example of life is precious and you have to enjoy each moment when you can, because, you know, this guy was perfectly healthy, it seemed, and then he suffered a brain bleed and passed away at the age of 25. So it just another sad story. What's been a really tough month here in the United States, Canada, and around the world. Dave, your thoughts on your topic, sir?
I'll be quick. I know it wasn't the greatest of all entertaining topics, fellas, but, you know, the first thing I'll say about Colby Cave, it's great to see the impact that, you know, everyone lining up, keeping that social distancing, following the rules and showing support to the family for a, you know, tremendous athlete, someone young who's been with the Boston Bruins organization now over to the Edmonton Oilers. So, you know what, I know Dane Hanshaw, one of our analysts here on the Game Sports Show, big fan of the Edmonton Oilers, was also a fan of Colby Cave and just his way, step forward presence was, you know, obviously in Edmonton, you got someone named Connor McDavid, or some people like to call him McJesus, on that team. So obviously he takes the spotlight for the entirety of that team. But Colby Cave was a good impact player for that team. So obviously he'll be missed in the hockey community. And 2020 sucks, Scott. You said that. I love how everyone's memes were 2020 is my year. 2020 is going to be my best year. I bet you everyone's wishing 2019 was still a thing, or if they could jump forward to 2021. Because 2020, such an exciting year, right? Just a different number. It hasn't lived up to that hype, you know. And overall to the draft, you know, that's one thing I wanted to bring up was the OHL priority draft. It was fantastic, the virtual draft, the impact, the writers, the sports columnists, everything of such being involved here for the Ontario Hockey League, and just all the players who got drafted, the midget programs, the journalists locally were not just in the Sioux, but locally for all the players that were involved in the draft. That is where this is going to go right now for the NHL. I guarantee you the NHL draft will be virtual. I just waiting for that to be announced. I bet you that will be announced before the season gets canceled, which is the ironic thing. And in the NBA, the same thing. And you're going to have things with their families at home or with their family members that they're quarantined with, of course, or isolating from at home. And that's where the pick is going to be, right? You're going to have a camera and they're set up in their home via Skype, Facebook, Instagram, whatever their camera feedback is, Zoom, whatever it may be. And that's where the pick is going to be. You're going to have the commissioner go on the podium, make the pick. They're going to put their hat on. It's going to be sent to them in advance. And that's where, you know, the pick is going to be for the top couple selections. Or maybe they don't have a hat. At the end of the day, it's going to be different. It's going to be a different feel for the world of sports this summer, especially with the drafts. And I'm actually excited to see how the draft format is going to lay out, especially if the NHL and NBA season have to cancel and they have to follow these isolation protocols. Because, yes, like as I mentioned, they got Zoom. They got all these different camera programs that they can use overall or something that they could send. Like Alexis Lafreniere, whoever gets the first overall pick, that's who they're drafting. I don't care what anybody says, if it's Detroit, if it's Ottawa, whoever it may be. You can send him a hat, but you can't send the second overall pick, the third overall pick, the fourth overall pick, fifth overall pick a hat because you don't know if you're going to pick that guy in that overall selection. But it's going to be different because you're going to have everyone tune in to an NHL.com feed. It's going to make money. People are going to buy NHL.com subscriptions just so they can tune into the draft. That's where they can make money, right? That's a business aspect of it if they can't make it up. But what I'm curious is, yes, the draft will go virtual. Things will go virtual. But I'm curious about the salary caps, in particular with the National Hockey League, if it gets canceled, if it's truly going to go up. That's where I think it's going to be big, and they're trying to make money on another spectrum so they can kind of keep status quo going into next season, as they announce. But overall, the draft going virtual, excited to see how the layout would be. I think the NBA and NHL are going to do it totally different. I think the NBA does it better than the NHL does. They always have. And the NFL does it better than both of those leagues. So the NHL virtually has an advantage here. I think because of the following that they have, especially in Canada, and especially with the stream availability that they have to really step up their game and make it entertaining and something to look forward to because, you know, everyone's been sport deprived to this point.
Gentlemen, let's get to our thumbs. Oh, you got a thumbs up from Butch on that one, Dave. Let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. EJ, we'll start with you and then Butch, myself, and Dave. So EJ Russell from snowy Escanaba, Michigan. Thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, my friend.
Thumbs up for the week is that everybody's getting to spend some time with their immediate families at home. You know, yes, this is a weird world that we live in right now, but try to stay positive. If you are at home with your family members, try to enjoy the time that you do have with them. If you're not at home with your family members, give them a call. Let them know you care about them. I know I got a grandmother that I desperately owe a phone call. So if you're listening to the show, just call somebody, reach out. Even if it's a friend, just call, say hi, stay in touch. Thumbs down for the week in sports, for the year in sports, for the year. 2020 has just been awful. We still have a presidential election to go, so it's not going to get that much better on this side of the states. But the coronavirus is terrible. It's making life very difficult. So do the best you can. Stay home. Wash your hands. If you do go outdoors, make sure you are practicing social distancing. I, myself, is an avid outdoorsman. I'm a huge fan of fishing, so get outside, go hiking, grab a rod or a reel if you have one at home laying around. Rig up a bob or a worm. Who cares? Go do something outside while staying away from other people. Just enjoy your time and enjoy your week.
Thank you, EJ. Butch Davis, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
Well. Let's give thumbs up to the people who are very much so cooperating with this whole thing here. Just give them thumbs up. Everybody, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing there. Keep social distancing. You got to go out there. Be careful. Kind of organize yourself. Do what you got to do. Get back home. Be safe. Be kind to your neighbors again here. You know, check in on your neighbors when you can, either via by telephone, Skype, or whatever means necessary that you can do that. That is very much so legal there. Just be cool, okay? Just do it. That's it.
Dave McKeg, or actually it's my turn. Thumbs up and thumbs down before we get to Dave McKeg. Thumbs up, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the middle of the show, and we're going to say it at the end of the show. Thumbs up to all those that are, you know, going to work and risking their lives. And, you know, you say that and, you know, some people may say, well, you might be over exaggerating. Well, I'm not, because we've seen it hit several communities. Butch Davis's Metro Detroit area especially has seen it. And Butch mentioned there were four or five workers at Kroger, I think one at Meijer, that passed away from this coronavirus. A couple weeks ago, my fiance and I were shopping, and we were the only ones that had masks other than maybe one other person. We went 2 weeks later, and about 80% of the store, including all the employees, had masks. And so people are taking this seriously. But when you go out, make sure to thank them. Thank your you know, person that's taking your money for gas when you fill up your car or the grocery, because, you know, they're going out there. They're not getting paid anything, and that's a shame, and they should be paid more, especially yep. now for what they're doing. So thumbs up to all those men and women out there doing that. Thumbs down to the XFL. They laid off all their employees, and it looks like that next season isn't going to happen. And I alluded to this earlier before you came on, Dave. A month ago, I was interviewing my cousin, Jake, who was playing for the New York Guardians. We were talking about the success of the league at that point, and they were traveling to Dallas to take on the Dallas squad, and then all this happened, and XFL seems to be another casualty of this coronavirus. And so thumbs down to the XFL. Probably not their fault that this happened, but again, a lot of football players that put a lot of effort to get to that stage all of a sudden now are kind of looking at the future in a different way. So thumbs down to that. Dave McKeag, before we go around the horn one more time, thumbs up and thumbs down for the week.
You know, I'll say flat out, I'm going to go thumbs down first, and kind of a reverse what Scott said, that thumbs down, I'm going to go to the individuals that give negativity to those who are working in the customer service and just give negativity to those who work in the front line. I'm not even including healthcare into this. I had an experience where, you know, there was a thank you given to a particular individual at LCBO who was a front cashier, and the person said to that other customer that, thank you for actually being nice to me because I don't get it a lot. Listen, I'm going to say flat out that it's a little exaggerated. I'm sure Scott may say because they're risking their life, but really, not really. They're out there doing what they can, especially liquor store and beer store staying open. So people that have alcoholism, sorry, don't have to go into withdrawal and overpack the hospital, okay?
That's all of us, Dave.
And overall, just be kind to everybody. It absolutely upsets me. I've worked in both ends. I've worked at the beer store before. And when people are rude, it doesn't get you anywhere. We're all in this together overall. Not just talking COVID. It's in general for the world. Be kind. It doesn't hurt to be kind to people. It really sucks that when you're rude and when you hear those stories, it makes me want to snap. So end of the day, moving from the thumbs down, I don't really got thumbs down. I'm going to go thumbs up. I know this may be weird, but the reaction towards Colby Cave, love seeing the hockey community come together in terms of something that is really negative. Another thumbs up to the brides out there that are getting married this summer. Scott, I don't know if Becky's out there. I know a lot of them haven't been stressed. I haven't seen too many Instagram stories. Maybe they're keeping it to themselves. I'm not too sure what they're doing, but you know what? Hopefully everything overall works out for them. And lastly, thumbs up. I got three, even though I got three hands, I'm giving you a third thumbs up to our listeners, because we're here to provide you entertainment. But we've had some great shows come up through Scott, EJ, and Butch, obviously. And then also myself, I've had some good shows with some recent interviews, in particular recently with Kelsey Wilson, former, let's say, goon of the American Hockey League. So a lot of listener feedback and a lot of listener ratings and view counts that I've actually looked into more than I never used to before. Scott can attest to that, where I never had any kind of background of using tech on the website or anything of such. So to actually see the feedback we're getting in the viewer count for all the shows that we're doing, Butch, all the shows that we do in the interviews, it's great to see. And if you want something in particular, don't hesitate to reach out and let us know what we can do for you, because without you, the show wouldn't be at where it's at today. Without what you're doing, viewers and listeners. And in this time of difficult need, we must come together, as I mentioned, and we can provide entertainment for you, even if it's for 20 minutes, half hour, 45 hour, 2 hours, or sometimes me when I talk too much, 3 hours. End of the day, we'll give you all this content that we can provide to you. So thumbs up overall, the listeners and viewers, and let's get through this together.
Thank you, Dave. And yeah, ratings are definitely up here over the last month, and we're hopefully be back on the radio in the near future at some point. Let's go around the horn one more time, gentlemen, before we call it quits. EJ, I know there's snow in Escanaba right now, but I got to ask you, how's the fishing? Are the fish biting right now? And what's up for you in the week ahead?
Steelhead are biting, waiting for him to run up a few of the rivers, getting ready for just doing some spring trout fishing. Yes, there's still some snow on the ground, but it's a lot of it's getting away. You know, sidewalks are already clearing up where I shoveled them, but going to continue to try to enjoy sports as much as I can. I know coming up on April 18th, that's this weekend, is The Last Dance, the story of the 90s Bulls dynasty.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming up. So I know I'm very excited to watch that. Probably more excited than I was to watch The Tiger King. For those of you who haven't seen that yet, please do yourself a favor. Waste the time and watch it.
Fantastic.
Because it is an incredible tragedy. It's terribly awesome. So just going to continue to enjoy my time here with Becca. I know we're considering moving our wedding date. Scott, I don't know what your guys' plans are, but things are changing. But hopefully be back here with you guys real soon. Stay safe.
Sounds good, EJ. Butch Davis, of course, you had your edition of Butch on Sports over the weekend. What's ahead for you this week as far as Butch on Sports and in general?
Who the hell knows here? I don't know. You know, you say Wednesday, we end up doing it Friday, then some other stuff come on up in the way where we maybe have technical difficulties because something's not working right, or, you know, you got things are piling up on you that maybe it's newsworthy, that is, that you kind of want to get everything because, again, when you're asking for people to listen to you or watch you here, you want to give them your very, very best there. So we'll say this week, Thursday, boys and girls, and, of course, our Sunday edition. We did Saturday night, early Sunday morning because of Easter there, but I know you guys didn't mind because we had a whole heck of a lot to say. It's normally 20, 26 minutes, but I gave you a full half an hour. Hey, so hip, hip, hooray for me here. Yes, indeed here, I tell you. Everyone, please stay safe. Stay safe. We'll get over this sooner than later, hopefully there. But again, everyone, please stay safe.
Absolutely, Butch, and we'll be doing our shows here, at least this edition of the game, Monday nights at 6 to 7-ish, depending on how many of us can be on there. We'll keep doing that over the next few weeks until we get back on the radio. I did have some conversations with our folks at Sovereign Communications. They certainly will have us back on the radio once this calms down and we get more sports, so no worries there. Dave McKeg, I've been enjoying your shows, your interviews, really like the last one there, as you mentioned. Anytime you get a goon on the air and talking about fights, I love it. What's ahead for you this week, my friend, as far as shows that you can find on thegamesportshow.com?
You know, keeping it short and brief as best as I can. Mind you, short and brief to me is probably longer to some. But now, and the story, we had an interview planned with Trevor Gillies on Friday. Obviously, it didn't work out. Trevor Gillies, everyone remembers with Long Island. We do plan to have on in your future. We have at least almost half a dozen interviews lined up by from now until the end of the month. So we're going to, I don't have exact dates. I can't say at least three of the names. I know we have the Perlini clan coming on. We have Rico and Chofana coming on. And Trevor Gillies coming on to sing a couple of them. So a couple big interviews coming on. Obviously, we don't have the same usual show here on Super Ontario. It's been really sporadic. We haven't actually done a full show in a couple weeks. So we don't plan to really do one this week. Maybe next week we might come together and do something. So overall, by me saying so and bringing up names and doing something from now to the end of the month, we're just going to sporadically here do as best we can to provide you content, entertainment. Just keep an eye on all of our platforms, Spotify, Apple, Podbean, our website, as well as Facebook and Instagram. Give us a like, follow, and subscribe. And just keep an eye on our uploads and our teaser uploads for upcoming shows and everything. And as Scott mentioned, too, obviously we have our shows here with the four of us, the four horsemen. So I'm very happy to have taken a couple weeks off to be, jump in. I actually have time to jump in with you guys. So very happy to be with you. And just with all listeners, we have a lot of shows coming up in terms of interviews, especially on my end of the show. And who knows who's going to be my co-host. Maybe it's going to be Scott. Maybe it's going to be Butch. Maybe it's going to be EJ. Maybe Jamie. Maybe Dave. Maybe Alex. Maybe Matt again. Who knows? Overall, we're all going to be together and have a good content to give to you. So make sure you keep it locked here on the game because there's a lot more coming for you.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the game. Again, everyone, please be safe. be secure and adhere to all the safety precautions that our officials are, in some cases, mandating. For Dave McKeag, EJ Russell, and Butch Davis, my name is Scott Nason. We'll talk to you next Monday night for our next edition of The Game, sponsored by ESPN 1400 and heard at thegamesportshow.com.
See ya!
Thanks for listening to The Game here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportshow.com.